Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Guys, Colin's parents were here, and some other stuff happened, but Colin's parents were here. It's Below Deck Med. Let's talk about it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This makes me so happy.
I love this song.
Good fine, Heather. Good
thank
fine.
Thank you. I'm back.
Yeah, she's back, guys. We got the gang all back together. What's up, y'all? It is Below Deck Med. We are going to chat all about it. We're kind of getting, again, to the end of this season and some... You know, kind of vanilla stuff happened, but as we mentioned, Colin's parents were here, which I just can't wait to chat about so that because that was super fun. Yeah. I am your host, Laura L. Thomas, and I got a couple of lovely co-hosts with me tonight.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kaylee Stump.
Hi, everyone. I'm Heather Geisler.
Yay, Heather Geisler.
Yay.
Thanks, guys.
So happy that we have you back.
Me what too.
You were missed sorely.
Thank you. I missed you guys.
We missed you.
Okay, so let's break it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think I want to hear your overall thoughts of this episode. It was episode 14, mm-hmm. Stu Koo. Miss Heather, let's start us off. What do you think?
Yes, I definitely thought it was slightly middle of the road. Mm-hmm. I won't go into that, but I definitely like seeing all the interactions with the crew, and I feel like mostly everyone is getting together except for a couple people hit a high note, I guess.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah. I think this episode was so much more exciting than last week's. I really liked this one. I feel like they stepped it up. I mean, with the guests and the arrows, that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
And then arrows. Colin with his family just made my whole day.
I know.
So
I teared up.
I did too. And maybe it's because I'm a boy mom now, so I get it.
Oh.
But I was just kind of like, it just brought all the feels to me.
Totally.
And I just love how much he loves his family and they just love him. But I don't know. We'll get into it later. We're going to talk about Colin. We're going to talk about Hannah versus everybody on the boat. We're going to talk about the guests. We're going to talk about this love triangle that will not die.
Never.
First things first, let's chat about these guests. So we met them last week. They, motivational speaker, very just positive affirmations, just all over this boat. And that's not a bad thing. I love a good positive affirmation, but I might have been in Hannah's camp whenever she said, if I hear one more positive affirmation, I'm going to shoot myself in the head.
Yeah.
There gets to be a point where it's a little much.
Yeah.
Especially in that close quarters.
Yeah, it's like the person that's always smiling and always happy. Like, at some point, you do just want to be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Swipe the smile away.
I know. Like, be a little bit more real. It's as if he has to keep convincing himself to be positive. He's constantly saying all those affirmations and reading from the books.
But they are on a yacht in the Mediterranean.
At least he's
not. I think I would be pretty happy, too.
I mean, hey, they are technically hashtag living the dream. So
yes.
I don't know that... I mean, whatever they're doing is working.
It's clearly working
in some regards. Mm-hmm. He gives the crew a little self-help book that I guess apparently he wrote, right?
Ooh, that was cute.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of nice of him. And
I just like that they were...
Kaylee
like,
goes, that was cute.
I just like that they were nervous that was going to be their tip.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh my gosh. Okay, can we talk about that tip for a second?
Yeah.
I legit thought that he was going to pay them in gratitude.
Yeah,
at
I did
the very
too.
End.
I did too, but then I noticed the white envelope in his pocket. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Thankfully, that was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think we talked about this last week a little bit, how I think these guests get to get on this boat for kind of dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's allegedly, I don't know, like, don't quote me on this, Bravo,
right.
But from rumor has it that these people get to get on, these guests get to come aboard this fabulous boat for next to nothing, or definitely not what it costs to actually... Mm-hmm. You know, rent the charter, and what they actually pay to be on the show, to be on the boat, is the tip. So, allegedly. I know your face is the same as mine when it very first heard that.
That can't possibly be right because then I could go on that boat next charter season.
I mean, I need to know a Bravo executive that I can just rub elbows with.
We need to figure this out.
It definitely makes sense that it would be cheaper. You know, they're letting them film them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it seems like a small price to pay. But it can't possibly be just the tip because otherwise... Because they are not pulling their weight there.
Well, I don't mean to just run up the rumor mill here, but that's kind of the rumor that's been going around.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure they get a discount just because every move is filmed. So yeah,
well, also for the show. Aren't the crew all of our favorite people that we're watching, aren't they getting paid on top of what they're being paid on the yacht to be on the show, right?
I mean, I would imagine there's a Bravo executive somewhere that's worked that contract out.
For the show, they get the tip, and they get paid by the yacht owner for the entire season.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that I need to leave AfterBuzz, and I need to go work on the yacht. Like, sorry, husband, sorry, baby, I'll be back in, like, a month and a half. I'm going to go sail Italy for a while.
That sounds fabulous.
But I'm going to come back and, you know, be able to pay for your college.
And you'll be very positive.
Tons of positive affirmations on the way. Yeah, totally. Did you guys see his shirt? It said the power of the dream that he was wearing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It never ends with him.
It really doesn't.
You snooze, you lose. I definitely agree with that.
The power of the dream?
No, you snooze, you lose.
Well, let's talk about snoozing because the primary got up one morning and went on a little joy ride on the tender by himself and left his guest behind. Is that cool or not cool? Naughty or yachty?
I feel like that's yachty. You can't wait for everyone to wake up.
Especially since he's the primary. He can do whatever he wants.
That's what I think, too.
And if they want to sleep in, then they want to sleep in.
Yeah, they were just jealous because it was so beautiful. That boat ride looked amazing.
It did. And they were super salty about it, though. When that other guest woke up, he was like, what's he doing out there on the boat? I'm going to go on the boat.
I know.
Like, calm down,
you need
crazy.
Some more gratitude, I think.
Here's a book. I'd like for you to read it.
Wait, I really like this comment from one of our live chatters. Thanks, everyone who's joining us. Tiffany Ferguson says, that rumor makes sense to me because what actual rich person wants a filmed vacation?
I mean, right?
That makes so much sense.
It really does. It really does.
Yeah, I love that.
Again, I don't want to get sued by Bravo or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
me neither.
Don't run me into the ground, Bravo. But I just hear things, and I heard this on another interview, reputable news source. So, anyway. And then let's talk about this trust circle that they do.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, have you guys ever done anything like that, like a face your fears kind of thing?
No, not really.
Yeah, I can't say that I have.
No. Have you?
I have.
Oh.
I did. I walked on fire.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Oh, I would probably rather walk on fire than face a steel tip arrow in my throat.
Right in your throat. Oh my gosh, how was the fire?
It was fine. I survived and I had no burns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everyone had to do it or whoever felt inclined?
Yeah, pretty much everybody did it. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a lot of us.
Cool.
But yeah, it was the whole thing.
You would not have done the Arab tip in the neck.
I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. I didn't think I was going to walk on fire either.
I know.
When I very first got there, I was like, I don't think that's for me.
Yeah.
And then
I was thinking, that must be some weak wood in the arrow.
Right?
I know.
Yeah.
But still, right. I mean, that like a little puncture goes a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh,
and then just think about it. Like, you can't talk. Like, a burn is one thing. Like, you can't talk.
Scared?
Can't breathe, can't eat. Like, there's a whole situation. Seriously?
Drow went right
here.
Through that.
He
Drow
sure did.
Like, did it.
What about Colin being the first one to step up?
Yeah.
Or were we surprised?
Yeah, they were gung-ho. I think they're good sports. Yeah.
Colin's such a good sport.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying, of course, he's the one to
truly
to do it first.
I was so not surprised.
Conrad also, right? Didn't Conrad?
Conrad,
the raise his hand too.
We didn't see any ladies
did
do it.
No. And I love how when Joao was like, "I've been shot. I've been attacked by a hippo."
Oh, yes. I love like, that. What?
I know. I was like, which is more random, being like, you know, the arrow situation or the hippo situation?
I think if you're attacked by a hippo, I'm pretty sure you don't live to tell that story. You think they're like the most dangerous creatures.
They really do look scary.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that made me laugh.
Like, that's Joao.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Good comedic relief.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Especially in that moment, for sure. We had a little mix up with Miss Lucy's food.
Yeah.
I was sweating for a second, like, oh gosh. But you know what? I think Hannah handled it really well. I think, because here's the thing. I think when there's an allergy involved, it's always something that you don't really want to mess with.
Totally.
And I think the fact that she kind of went to her and she was like, hey, is this an allergy situation? I'm 90% sure that this is your food. There was, like, butter on the green beans. Mm-hmm. Are you going to, like, go into anaphylactic shock if you have some green bean butter?
Yeah.
Like, and she was like, it's not going to be the end of the world, which right. I think she was really cool about
She was super cool about it. She didn't really care at all, which was such a relief because you don't know how these guests are going to react. Mm-hmm. She could have gone off the rails. Mm-hmm.
She really could
and have. And the look on Hannah's face when she realized that she may have messed up.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart dropped.
Yeah, I was thinking, what is the option? Like saying, okay, everyone, there's one, you know, dairy-free dish.
Right.
Like, is everyone else going to eat? And then he's just going to make, is Adam going to make a new dish for her?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was such a simple solution, what Hannah did. Mm-hmm. And then I felt silly for not thinking that myself. But yeah, I think they handled it extremely well.
Yeah.
And it shows they're kind of like a low maintenance guest charter, you know.
Yeah, they are.
And they're just happy to be there. And,
well, but I feel like it reminded me of last episode when Hannah forgot the vodka for the Bloody Marys. So yeah. Like, Adam's kind of right. She's just like kind of checked out at this point in the season.
I was going to ask you guys that. So they do have, Adam has this sort of thing where he's like, she's great at keeping the guests happy. She's not really great at like managing this restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do we feel like Hannah is checked out?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Totally. And I love how they played that flashback to last season when Bugsy, who was the second stew, approached Hannah and said the exact same thing that Brooke said this season.
Yeah.
It's like clearly towards the end of the charter, or towards the end of each season, Hannah kind of checks out.
Yeah, and I think it kind of started early just because of the whole Conrad situation, and it just kind of feels like that's been contentious for a while, and then that just really, like, her anxiety attack really affected her work ethic, like, after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like her personality is hard, like she said. You can still do a great job and have that type of personality, and maybe you don't get along personally, but everyone can still pull their weight. So I feel like there's a definite reason why everybody is saying this, you know, and she's the only one who doesn't agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think she is checked out. I think she's ready to get off this boat. But I think if I were in her shoes, I probably would be as well. She also looks like she's dropped a lot of weight. I think, didn't she say she, like, she lost, like, 18 pounds or something on this, during this charter season?
You're right.
In our interview, we talked to her about, and this was the first time that I noticed, like, on the show, her looking, like, not run down or ragged, but just kind of worn out.
Yeah.
You know?
That's from stress.
Yeah. The stress, her anxiety attack, all of that, you know, like, and not being able to release that. And and even the times that they do get to get off the boat and have their sort of away time, she's always, she's fighting with Conrad, or she's fighting with Joao, or she's fighting with Brooke. And so it's just like,
she can't get away from it.
I feel like she's just kind of under this huge amount of pressure right now. So
she is, but as the boss and the leader, she can't really slack off. I mean, Brooke isn't doing it, Casey isn't doing it. I know that like their jobs are obviously easier than Hannah's, but and when Hannah confronted Casey, she thought she was not confronted, but talked to her about what Brooke said. She was kind of like about to confide in Casey, and then Casey's like, well, I mean, I also agree with Brooke. I'm not on your side. I'm on hers. I don't think you're pulling your weight.
Before we jump too much into sort of Hannah and Casey and Brooke, Miss Heather, can you share a little message with us, please?
Yes. Hi, all of you AfterBuzzers. Our network produces many after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. We have drama, reality TV, sci-fi, many more. There's no network that is working harder to serve the television fans. But we really need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about pesky notifications, you don't have to be because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know that you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. But for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. So Hannah and Brooke and Casey, like we just were chatting about, Hannah's kind of in a situation now where she's got a little beef with everybody, except maybe Adam. I think her and Adam might, their relationship is kind of what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that very brother-sister kind of push-pull. They're used to each other at this point. They're not afraid to kind of say, they've said much worse in the past, I guess, than what I've seen on this season.
For sure.
But let's start with Hannah and Casey and Brooke. So they had their little moment at the top. Brooke is obviously coming to Hannah saying, I don't think you're pulling your weight. I don't, you know, I'm feeling taken advantage of. You get cigarette breaks. We don't. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Hannah feels like she does not need to justify herself to her second stew. And then Brooke is backed up by the third stew, being Casey. Yeah. So they have this kind of sit down, powwow moment where they're just like, Hannah says, if you have something that you want to say, get it out now. And both of them kind of just like stand by what they've said. It doesn't blow up anymore. It just kind of is like, this is how we feel. I think you see this. And not a whole lot happened, but do you think that it got through to Hannah? Do you think it's going to make a difference, or do you think it's kind of falling on deaf ears?
I think it does initially, because then she starts trying to take over Casey's laundry duties, and Casey's like, this is like, I want you to do all of your job. You don't need to come and swoop in and do mine. It's kind of, Hannah did the same thing last season with Bugsy. After Bugsy complained, she said, I'll switch shifts with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Bugsy's like, well, that's not my point. But okay, she's like, I just want you to do your job so I don't have to step up and do more.
See, that's the thing. She, with the whole laundry thing, it's not coming from a place of genuine, like, I hear you. I'm going to try and do better for you guys. Whether or not she has to justify herself, because she is the chief stew, so I don't really feel like she has to justify herself. But I don't believe that she sat down and had an actual conversation with them. To me, it felt more like, this is what it is, you know, and we just got to get through the charter season.
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel like it was genuine. That was like a jab, more like, no, I'll do the laundry. If you don't think I'm doing my job, then I'll do the laundry. You
know? Yeah, and I think that's kind of Hannah's MO. I think she is a person that when she's confronted, we saw it with Conrad as well, when she's confronted in any kind of way, when she's called materialistic, when she believes that Conrad doesn't have, when, you know, Conrad says, I have your back, and she believes that he does, her knee-jerk reaction is to just throw the walls up, throw the guard up, and just get defensive and kind of shut down almost. And I think that's the case in this with Casey and Brooke. It did not feel like a healthy conversation to me. It just felt very, like, combative and a little, like, I don't have to prove myself to you, but if you need me to show you how hard I'm working, then let me show you how hard I'm working. You know, instead of kind of being like, I hear you, I will do better, I'm going to try to step up a little bit more or do what I can to pull my weight. The way that I saw Adam handle not feeding the crew, because obviously we've seen this as a theme for the past couple of weeks with Adam. He consistently forgets to feed the crew.
Yes.
He calls Conrad and Colin into the galley and he says, guys, how can I be better about feeding you guys on time? What works? And he says, well, Jamie falls asleep at 7 and, you know, she never really gets to eat, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a constructive conversation.
Absolutely.
That's the way to handle that.
Right.
You know?
It's not passive aggressive. It's straightforward. And it's also kind of non-emotional. You know, it's like, this is just something that needs to be fixed and I acknowledged it. And he doesn't take it personally. You know, he just acknowledged, like, okay, this has been happening, and
he knows
what we want Hannah to do.
Yeah. He knows he made a mistake, and he's like, you know, we're a team. This is a team effort, and I know you guys need to be fed. Like, that's not what, you know, I don't want you guys to be hungry or hangry on this boat.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right.
Fastest way to mutiny.
Oh, yeah. In any situation.
Yeah, he handled it well. Like, done and done. Jamie falls asleep at 7. Let's eat dinner at 5 or 6.
But
moving on.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
And so something like that, a conversation like that, I think, from Hannah with these ladies would have fallen much more constructive or would have felt way more constructive. But it's just part of who Hannah is, I think.
Yeah. It's really sad to see. Like, I hate watching it because I do feel like she probably feels like she doesn't have anyone to turn to on the boat. So I don't want anyone to feel that way. She seems like, you know, when an animal is, like, backed into a corner or something, you know, and then all she knows is to attack. But I hope that it it gets better somehow, you know, before the end of the charter season.
She just feels so defeated. But I thought it was interesting that after Brooke approached her, she says, oh, the second Brooke starts dating Joao is when she approaches me and tells me that I'm doing a bad job.
Okay, what do you think about that? Do you think that that's justified, or do you think that that Brooke was always kind of feeling this way?
Brooke has always been feeling this way. Yeah. And I don't think Joao had anything really to do. They didn't even show them really talking about it. I mean, Brooke's been talking to Casey more about how she feels when it comes to Hannah doing her job. Mm-hmm. I think Hannah just used the Joao thing kind of as an excuse. Yeah.
Which we chatted about last week a little bit. I think I was thinking that that Brooke was sort of using this idea that she's been dating Joao as sort of a target on her back from Hannah. Mm-hmm. And I think now Hannah is kind of doing the same. She's saying, okay, well, she's dating this guy, so obviously they have it out for me together.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know. I don't know that, like, either of them really have, it's not like they're ganging up on her or whatever, but misery does love company, and it's easy to kind of vent your frustrations to someone who will listen. And one person that she did vent to a little bit was Conrad. Obviously, she kind of vented her frustrations to Conrad and called. They go up for goes to bed, and then Conrad and Brooke have a conversation, and basically Conrad says, you know, this is Hannah. That's who Hannah is. Mm-hmm. You're not going to change it.
While Brooke is on the verge of tears because she feels bad.
Yeah, and she says, do you think it's going to make a difference? Do you think what I just said to Hannah is going to make a difference? And he says, no, Hannah's Hannah.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you get. Which I think in a weird way is like having Hannah's back. Even if it doesn't look like it, I think he was just kind of, like, he wasn't there really. He was doing what Conrad does. He keeps the peace.
Yeah, exactly.
He like smooths the waters out.
It wasn't like he was taking Brooke's side.
Right. No, that's what I thought.
Yeah. He's just always kind of just, he just wants to do the right thing.
Right.
Yeah. When it comes to drama, he wants to smooth it out.
Yeah, and he's not gossipy at all.
No.
I really do feel like he stays out of it. You know, he's not trying to fight with anyone or talk behind anyone's back. You know, Hannah does kind of bring...
Hannah brings him into it every single time.
Yeah, exactly, you
and
know.
And that's what makes him so upset and frustrated when they fight.
Which I can't blame him for. No. So then she calls him out during a smoke break and she says, well, did you have a nice chat with Brooke last night?
See,
and it's just picking a fight.
Yeah. The way she approaches the conversation, she hasn't learned how to communicate well.
Yeah. Which is a shame because Conrad's a doll baby.
I know.
So sweet. But yeah, they are so on different wavelengths.
Yeah.
They just. Too much drama and zero drama.
And obviously we kind of, we see this coming back up at the end as they go out. Clearly, you know, Hannah's in the back chatting with the girls saying, you know, if you think that I'm going to give up this guy and that guy
for some
23-year-old, you know, English boy, you've got another thing coming.
She tweeted tonight during that moment, she said, in all caps, such a B moment with an oops gif.
Oh, okay.
Talking about herself.
All right. I can respect that 100% because I saw that and I was like, oh, man.
Oh, it reminded me of when she was talking about the BMW that her boy, it's just like, it's so shady.
It's not a good look. Yeah. And I think that comes from when you're really feeling hurt and you just want to hurt other people, you know? Like, she just needs to share that, and that's how she does it, by like, he doesn't mean anything to me. I could have whoever I want.
Yeah, and she knows it's wrong and messed up and mean, but she keeps doing it.
I know. I think it's just a lesson she has to learn over and over again.
Or go to therapy.
Or go to therapy. That always works, too. And then they kind of, Hannah and Conrad have sort of this, this sort of final moment where they, I think, realize for both of them, you know, that she says, if you want a nice, kind, pretty girl, lovely girl, go find yourself a nice, kind, lovely, pretty girl, because that's just not me. Which I think is sad, because it is, I think in a lot of ways it is her. It's just, it's that side. I think the Hannah that Conrad wants to see may not be dissimilar to the Joao that these girls also want to see. Like, it's like these, they too have these, like, these rough exteriors that are hard to get past, but they keep fighting for the person that they could be.
That's, it's like wanting the bad boy, wanting the bad girl.
Yeah.
And you want to change them and you want the good, sweet side of them. But at the end of the day, that's not their entire personality and character.
And you gotta take the salty with the sweet, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just what broke my heart a little bit for Conrad, is that he was so enamored by the sweet Hannah.
Yeah.
And by the woman that he saw, who was vulnerable, who was sweet, who told him things that she doesn't share with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think he was so attracted to that Hannah, and so turned off by the sort of tough, I've taken care of myself since I was 10 years old, Hannah. So,
I feel like Hannah, the way she presents herself and describes herself, for instance, in that moment, like that she, you know, did everything on her own and she's an independent woman, and those are all great attributes. She is very independent and she's strong and she's taking care of herself. She doesn't have to let it be her downfall, too, you know? I think if she had a different perspective on herself, for some reason that seems like a negative.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it is. I think the way she's presenting it is a negative, you know, like you have to deal with this if, you know, this is who I am. But rather than, I feel like, being like proud that she is that way, you know?
It's not dissimilar to what Brooke said. She said, sometimes people mistake my softness for weakness.
Yes, exactly.
And I think Hannah's so afraid to appear weak that she won't allow herself to be soft a lot of the time. And so when she did, and when she finally did have that moment with Conrad, and she showed that soft side, he fell in love with that, you know? He really fell in love with that, and that's sort of the Hannah that he kept fighting for.
Yeah.
But as we saw tonight, looks like it's R.I.P. Hanrad.
Yeah, for good. Yeah, she's kind of degraded him a little bit too much, and he just won't stand for it anymore.
And he shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't.
He shouldn't, you know? I mean, that's just... It's a lot of growth on both of their parts to have to face. But, you know, so at some point you just kind of realize that this version of you is a version that I can't live with, you know?
Right, because how many times can you have the same conversation over and over again?
Yeah.
We have seen it every single week. There's been an issue between the two of them, and it does kind of seem like Hannah nagging on him or having an issue with other people, and I think... it's surprising, though, because, well, not surprising, but Conrad is so mature. I feel like he has given it his all, and for a good amount of time. It wasn't like one fight and he's like, no, not doing this.
Yep.
It's actually like he really stuck it out and tried to make things work. And I think it has come to just that natural end.
Yep. Mm-hmm. End of the road, as they say, Boyz II Men.
That should be our song next week.
Oh, it was going to be today until we had the mama situation happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like we said, I think it's R.I.P. Hanrad. And speaking of Hanrad, if you are watching us on our YouTube channel right now, thank you so much. We love that. And we love it when you comment and leave us your thoughts about the show. I want to give a shout out to Mr. F, who way back in week 11.
Mr. F.
Coined the term Hanrad way before I did. So, Mr. F, thank you. I stand corrected. Thank you for letting me borrow your term. If you want to let us know what you're thinking, obviously leave us a comment. We'd love to hear all about it. And then if you want to get the podcast version, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere that you find podcasts. We love 5-star ratings. So if you can drop us a 5-star rating, we'd be so appreciative. And you can also comment there as well. Keep this conversation going, because that's what we do. That's what we do here at AfterBuzz.
We love hearing from you guys.
Yes, we do.
All right, let's move into our final topic of the night. Let's chat about the love triangle that will not die.
Oh my gosh, I thought it was over with.
I'm so over this love triangle. I just want to talk about it super fast, because then I want to talk about Colin's parents.
Yeah,
I know. So let's talk about the love triangle that won't die. Casey and Joelle flirting this entire episode. Do we think Casey's in the wrong for flirting with Joelle as heavily as she is?
Honestly, I... that's how their friendship has always been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once that Joelle and Brooke made it official, she should have pumped the brakes a while ago.
Yeah.
Like, she's very... But also, I mean, he's extremely flirty, too.
Yeah.
But I think she's smarter than that, and she can be like, okay, chill. We don't need to you know, keep doing all this flirty back and forth, especially in front of Brooke's
face. Oh my gosh,
face.
That's terrible. Yeah. I definitely felt like Casey was instigating a bit this episode. But again, Joao just doing his thing too. Yeah. And I would have lost my mind, just like Brooke, if he spoon-fed another woman in front of me.
Right?
I,
the minute that he did that, I was just like, this cat.
Like, feeds you and then reaches across to feed her.
No.
This is not Sister Wives.
Oh, no.
My goodness.
It's another network.
Oh, my. That blew my mind.
Oh, man.
I just thought that was just like, that was just ugly on his part. But again, yeah. Both of these women seem to be fighting for this man that he could be. That's even, right. I think Casey even said it at her, in one of her confessionals. She said, you know, I keep flirting with Joao because I can't help but think of the guy that he could be. And I just think that that's, I think it shows a lack of self-worth on both of their parts. The need to kind of, and not saying that either of them like have terrible self-esteem or should in any way. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just saying, like, have more respect for yourself.
Yeah.
To find a man that you don't have to fix.
Right.
Exactly.
That, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. That's kind of like the eternal idea of this woman, you know, fixing the man or, you know, anything like that. When really you shouldn't be out to change anybody.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, that's like self-growth. Those are things that the other person needs to do, not you. And I'm just surprised Casey even said that.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't been in the picture with the love triangle. Like,
no, it's as if she's still holding out for Joao to pick her.
Yeah.
No, she had those boobs out at dinner, too. I mean, she was like
fixing them
all over the place with them. And I just thought that was like a little bit tacky.
That's why Joao was staring.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
And then, she called him out for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't help a man for being a man. Like.
Yeah, I know. She kind of, I feel like she knows what she's doing.
Look, don't touch, buddy. That's what I'm saying. Look, don't touch.
I know, but I'm glad that Brooke stood up for herself. She was clearly upset.
For sure.
She stands up for herself, tells Joao how that made her feel. And, you know, he just goes on the defensive again.
He played ignorant.
Yeah, he did.
And do we? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just gonna say, he was just saying that she takes everything to heart.
Yeah,
it's like, of course she is. Like, you guys are dating.
Yeah. Okay. I just have a question. Do you guys think that the reason why Joao and Hannah don't get along so well is because they are like two peas in a pod?
I thought you were gonna say secretly hooking up.
No. That's in predictions. We'll get there later.
Yeah.
No, I mean, because they do. They're like this. I think we said it earlier in an episode, like a tornado in a volcano. Like, they're kind of that similarly destructive,
kind of
guarded, very tough. Like, been through stuff in my life. Kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I wonder.
That makes a lot of sense.
It sure does. Yeah.
Maybe they should hook up.
No, I don't vote for that. No, move on. Moving on. Let's just chat really fast about Colin's parents.
Oh my gosh,
that was the sweetest moment of the entire episode. Can we just make that like a collective, like, way above deck moment?
Totally. Yes. Way above deck.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When his mom calls Captain Sandy on the phone,
so
we're like,
cute.
What is she, why is she calling? And then she said they're in Naples.
I love my mom to pieces, but I kind of want Colin's mom to be my mom. Or at least call me.
Dad.
And just
they're
be
so sweet.
Oh, they're just the cutest. And I just loved when Colin kind of broke down when he saw them. You can just tell, like, they just have such a special bond, and I thought that was just such a sweet relationship to see.
Mm-hmm. And I loved when Colin was talking about their love and how they met and how he wants to find someone, you know, find love, the same love that his parents have.
Yep.
He's just such a good guy,
through and through. He really is. He is going to be a guest bartender at a place. Is this in news?
I was going to mention that.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Actually, we're just going to skip this special segment because that's going to be our way above deck moment. We're going to have a collective way above deck moment.
Yes.
Let's just get right into news.
Let's do it.
Let's go for it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, Miss Kaylee, give
it to me. Okay, so first up, Captain Sandy posted this photo on Instagram with Jimmy Fallon at the VMAs. And if you remember,
she looks great.
A month or two ago, there was a clip of Fallon talking about how obsessed he is with Below Deck.
Yep.
And so, of course, Captain Sandy, when she sees him at the VMAs, she tapped him on the shoulder. And she posted, Jimmy Fallon loves Below Deck. I love how he reacted when I tapped him on the shoulder. He is hilarious.
I can only imagine.
I love it.
So cute. I love it. And yes, as you said, next up we have Colin. He will be guest bartending at a bar in Long Island. He posted this photo, and I love how he's wearing the Real Men Watch Bravo shirt.
I love it.
He said, come on down to Flo's Famous this Friday. He'll be bartending all night. He hopes to see you there. So if anyone's in Long Island, you should go check out Colin. And it was so funny. Adam in the comments, he goes, will you be making Bloody Marys?
Well, I actually, when I saw this picture on Instagram, I actually sent a DM to Colin and I was like, how many times have you gotten Don't Forget the Vodka today?
Gosh.
And he goes, oh God, too many to count.
Which wasn't his fault.
I know, right? I know, but he's never going to hear the end of it. So let's hope that they have vodka at this bar.
Yeah, totally. No, he'll kill it. Yep. And last up, we have just a video that Bravo's posted of all the crew kind of talking about their biggest regrets from the season, and this is them as they're getting ready for the reunion.
So we'll watch a little clip and then we'll
I swore too much and I hate watching myself swear on TV. It sounds awful. It's really unladylike. And I drank too much.
Brooke falling asleep.
There weren't cameras there, so I can't regret that too much because I was myself, but those are the two things I'll change. My grandma watches it.
Embellishing on my CV, for sure.
So, barista training?
Yeah, I have my bartending certificate.
Barista?
Oh, like coffees and stuff like that?
She'll never do that again.
She didn't have given someone to polish and made me look so good and make me look like I can do everything when really I needed the experience and to be trained. And I did know how to do certain things, but just not to everyone's liking.
You know, speaking my mind a little bit, you know, towards, you know, how I feel towards people, but
okay,
no, I really don't. I had blessed.
If I'm honest, I don't have a single regret. Maybe hooking up with a crew member.
Yeah, and that became like your entire storyline.
He would have been irrelevant. Yeah.
Right? I mean, so we're going to fade out this the rest of this clip, guys. If you want to see it, we'll post the link in the comments for sure.
Yeah.
But it is definitely worth checking out. Mm-hmm. They clearly have some regrets, and it looks like they're all getting ready for the reunion, so maybe they'll talk about it at the reunion as well.
Yes, they will. Adam definitely mentioned that he regrets not feeding the crew.
Well,
Jamie kind of regrets not being more in the forefront of things, but then also she says, after seeing all the drama that other people have gone through, she's like, I'm glad I
fly on the wall, girl.
Yeah.
Fly on the wall, because she's still a star.
Yes.
All right, let's wrap it up with some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I love it. It gets me like Halloween ready.
I know,
right? Yeah. All right, kick us off, Miss Heather. What are your predictions?
Yes. So, well, obviously we ended with Conrad and Hannah talking, so I think we will see the termination of that. I think we're going to see more of the love triangle, unfortunately.
Blech.
Maybe some more conversation between Brooke and Joao. And I hope to see just another great charter. Good food.
I know. Yeah. Always good food from Adam. Yeah. We also see Colin telling Brooke. I don't understand why. First of all, why right now? Maybe because he sees that Brooke and Joao are fighting. But also, it's so late in the game. We're almost done with the season. So it kind of made it seem like she was a little taken aback.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Hopefully they become a little bit closer and she sees that she should date a guy like Colin. And
yes, a good stand-up guy with great parents.
I know.
Yes.
I know. You can ladies are single, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay. Colin, we've got two viable options here.
Yeah, great in-laws.
I mean, that's right. I'm going to predict that Colin and Brooke share a little smooch. I don't know.
Ooh.
That would be fun.
I don't know. We're just going to throw it out
like
there.
I'd like to see that.
Maybe we'll see what happens. So Colin and Brooke have a little smooch. Let's see what that what that brings.
Love it.
All right, guys, that's us for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be back next week, so make sure that you join us. I'm Laura L. Thomas, and I got some co-hosts. You guys, where can we find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kaylee Stump, and check out my podcast, Sex in Studio City.
I'm Heather Geisler, and you can find me at 500 Days of Heather on Instagram.
Yeah, and you can find me at Laura Thomas Son on Instagram and Twitter, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for watching.
Bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.